always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting faith with life.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Connecting Faith. I'm Joe Rathmanner, and today is a great day. We are going to be talking about navigating this thing called life, specifically moving away from what is generally understood as being in survival mode instead of being in this chaos ensuing pace that doesn't really seem to have an end point. Ryan, do you ever feel like you're in survival mode?
Yes, and it's cyclical, right?
Right?
Because you survive one day only to begin a new day in survival mode, and that's no way to live.
Yes, there's no break. There's no end in sight. Although as a teacher, I do have semesters that end. And
yes.
So often my kids will say things like, Mom, how long is this job going to last? Because they Ooh. Know that at the end of that semester, I have a little bit of pause.
Yeah.
Where we can do more snuggling on the couch and watching of movies and playing of games. And so it is nice to have those kind of built-in breaks, but not everybody has those.
That's very true. The 24/7, 365 schedule is not a given to such things.
No, no, it's not. Well, if you're a wife or a mom, that survival mode, it seems even more intense because there are these little people that God has placed in our care, and also a husband that God has placed in our care to partner with and work in life and to support and encourage, maybe a career or job as well that requires our full attention. So that wheel just gets faster and faster. Well, if you've ever felt burned out, stressed out to the max, maybe you have an endless list of to-dos with no reprieve, you might be living in survival mode as well. Well, the good news is God doesn't want us living in this kind of stress or this kind of chaos. In fact, I remember sitting down to have a cup of tea one day. I love that Good Earth tea, not that I'm endorsing anything on the air, but they had those little sayings on the tea bag or on the little cardboard thing that comes with it. And I was just sitting down, taking a little bit of time, and what it said is, God made each day with enough time.
Wow.
I know.
Truth bomb.
It was a truth bomb. It wasn't even part of scripture, but it was definitely scripture leading. It could be a proverb. I don't think we can add any to that, though. The Bible has lots of great things, though, to also say about this anxiousness that we seem to have with life. I mean, if you think about Philippians 4, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, bring your requests to God. Our guest today actually has a lot to say about trying to get off this wheel and this place that we called survival mode. Let me introduce you to her and we can get on with the show. Crystal Payne describes herself as a child of God, a wife, homeschool mom of three, an author, and a speaker. Her mission is to challenge women to wisely steward their time and money and to live life on purpose. She reaches nearly 2 million readers each month on her site, moneysavingmom.com. And it was through writing and managing that blog that Crystal found that many moms wanted to employ some of these cost-saving ideas that she was posting on her blogs, but they really could not find the time to even implement some of these simple ideas. And that led her to just kind of look at her own life and put those thoughts down in a book called Say Goodbye to Survival Mode, 9 Simple Strategies to Stress Less, Sleep More, oh, I need that, and Restore Your Passion for Life. Crystal, welcome.
Thanks so much for having me on.
Absolutely. As I was reading your book, I noticed that it really is a personal story, this journey that you actually went on to come up with these principles. Tell me a little bit more about how you came to write this book.
So my husband and I, we got married 11 years ago, and we set this audacious goal that we were going to go through law school debt-free. And so we moved away from our friends and our family and our church and moved to this little town for him to go through law school. And that was really where the rubber met the road. You know, it's so easy to say, God provides, and we want to do this great thing, but when you are living in that day in, day out, trying to make ends meet, it was really hard. And our faith grew and our relationship with each other grew because we didn't have much else support. But in those days and those weeks and those months of just trying to figure out how to stretch our money so we could survive, I learned a lot of things. And then I found out that I was pregnant. And so I got really sick and I had to quit working. And I was at in our little basement apartment, and I was so sick, and I just laid in bed and tried to research anything that I could come up with to be able to make money online, because I really wanted to be a stay-at-home mom. And so I fell into this thing called blogging, and I started blogging. And one day on that blog, I said something about buying all our groceries for $17 that week. And apparently that's not something that a lot of people do. And
no.
So they started, you know, coming out saying, oh my goodness, how do you do that? And I realized that I had been, you know, learning these things and practicing these things in our own home. And so I started teaching other people on that blog. And people kept asking more questions. They wanted more information. And so finally, after doing an ebook and an online course and just getting lots more questions, I started MoneySavingMom.com in 2007. And by that time, I had two children. And then the blog just exploded. It was kind of the right place, the right time. The economy was tanking. And it was just beyond what I could have ever imagined. And we're having thousands of visitors every day, and these opportunities are coming my way. And I just started saying yes to all these different things, because you start to feel like, well, if I don't say yes, I'm going to miss out on some great opportunity, or mm-hmm. that's my friend and I feel obligated to them. And so pretty soon I had three children then, and we had moved back for my husband to start his own law firm. And I had this blog that was just taking a gobs of amount of time. I mean, it was crazy the time that it was taking and what I was investing in. I was just stretched to the max. I was burnout and I was exhausted. And I finally came to my husband one day and I said, I can't do this anymore. I'm done. I can't keep living like this. And I really expected that he was going to pat me on the back and just say, you're doing such a great job. Just keep going. And he didn't. He said to me, you know, you're bringing this all on yourself. You don't have to be choosing to do all of these different things. You don't have to be saying yes to all of these things. And at first when he said that, I was really taken aback. But then as I thought about it more, I realized, you know, he was right. I didn't have to be saying yes to all of these things. And it really empowered me to realize that I was the problem, but I was also the solution. And so it set me on this journey of just months of really trying to step back and figure out, how do I climb out of this pit of survival mode? And so that's where this book really came out of.
So you wrote that women really need to deal with some of the foundational issues, you called them, that are causing them to kind of spin out of control before they can get to the point where they can even listen to the money-saving tips that you have. What are those foundational issues that are kind of leading women into that pit?
Yes. Well, first off, it's the unwillingness to say no. And a lot of times it's not that you are just like stubborn or something. It's more that you feel obligated to people. You feel like, well, if I don't say yes to that, I'm going to let somebody down. Or for me, it was, if I don't say yes to that, they're going to realize that I'm not as put together and superwoman as they think that I am. And so for me, it was this thing of, you know, having to step back and say no was really hard, because it meant that I had to come out and, you know, show the side of me that was very authentic and vulnerable, and that I am really a mess and I can't do it all. And that was hard for this type A person who kind of, you know, kept this persona of, I've got it all together. And so saying no to the mediocre so that you can say yes to the best. And I think when women can really get to the place where you're willing to have the courage to say no in order to say yes, it can really change your life.
Why do we do that as women, think that we need to put on this persona, that we do have it all together? Because I hear that all the time from other women, as well as I think I've said that at least about 17 times myself.
You know, for me, a lot of times it was one, that not wanting to be authentic, because I was afraid that if people really knew how much of a mess I was, they wouldn't like me. And so I wanted people to like me, so I would put up this facade and be this person who I really wasn't so that people would like me. And I would say yes and, you know, feel obligated to everyone so they would like me. And I started to realize that if I am just putting on this persona and that's what people are liking, they're liking a fake me. And then I have to keep up that fake persona if they're going to keep liking me. And I just realized I want people to like me for who I am, for who God has made me to be, messes and brokenness and all. And so just really being willing to tell people, you know, I'm struggling this week. I'm, you know, we're having a hard time here and I need your prayer. And, you know, this is who I am and this is the real deal. And it's been so refreshing to me to be authentic and to be willing to be authentic, because then I feel like it's not only deepened my relationships incredibly, but it's also opened up doors for relationships with people that I don't think they would have been friends with the fake me.
I found that people like me a lot more when they don't think I have it all together. That's a little secret that nobody tells you, but boy, is that true.
Well, and I think we like people who are real as well. You know, I mean, you think of, if you go to somebody's house and everything is perfect, it makes you feel inadequate. But when you go to somebody's house and there's smudges on the, you know, door, or there's laundry on the floor or whatever, you feel like, oh, good, I'm not alone in this. You know, we all don't have it together. And I think that there's freedom. It's not that we need to just, you know, air all our dirty laundry in front of everybody, but we need to have people in our life that we can just be absolutely real with. It's a beautiful thing.
Well, today I'm talking with Crystal Payne. She's the author of MoneySavingMom.com and also the book Say Goodbye to Survival Mode, 9 Simple Strategies to Stress Less, Sleep More, and Restore Your Passion for Life. We'll have a little more of a conversation with Crystal when we come back. Hope you'll join us.
Radio companionship that's good for the soul.
I'd probably say it was just the leading of the Holy Spirit to, all right, listen, if you're going to have the radio on, at least do something good for yourself. I'm sure we will be amazed when we get to heaven and we find out what an impact it has made on people, and we never really realized it. Faith Radio is going to give you the opportunity to continue on that walk.
Connecting faith to life every day. Thanks for listening to Faith Radio.
Welcome back to Connecting Faith. I'm Joe Rathmanner, talking today to Crystal Payne. She's author of Say Goodbye to Survival Mode, and she gives some great tips on how to get us out of the rut that we may be in, where we're spinning out of control with a long list of to-dos and a short time that we have to complete them. One of the first strategies we just talked about was learning to say no, so that, I believe the words you used, Crystal, were so that you can get on to what you do best. Can you talk a little bit more about what are those things that we do best? How do we discover those?
Yeah, so when I was able to say no to all of this calendar clutter and these things that I felt obligated to other people to do, but it really wasn't the best for me and my family, then it freed me up to really step back and say, what do I want to be investing my life in? And for me, I asked myself, what is going to matter in 25 years from now? That's a really good indicator of what is truly important. So I stepped back and started examining all the areas of my life. And what I ended up doing was creating what I call a best stuff list. And this is a list, a very short list, of the most important things in my life that I want to wrap my life around. And that at the end of my life, I want to say, this is what I invested my life in. So creating that best stuff list then allows me to, when any opportunity comes my way, I can hold it up against the best stuff list and say, is this in line with my best stuff? Or is this just something that's going to pull me away from that best stuff? It's been so freeing for me.
So you listed a few just kind of ideas for what you may put on your best stuff list. You said an area you might look at is personal, is your personal growth, do you have physical health goals, your spiritual and emotional, relationship to God, involvement in your church, family, of course, your extended family, your husband, your children, and then you may have an area of career and ministry. Maybe you have some business projects, or maybe you want to volunteer somewhere. And then friendships, also just relationships with other people. And to look at all these categories to figure out where are those things that you want to invest your life in. What's number one on your list?
My relationship with the Lord. And so for me, I actually didn't flesh that out. I didn't just say my relationship with the Lord, but really said, this is what I want it to look like. And this is, so for me, it was really nurturing it every single day by spending time in God's word. And so putting specifics to those best things helps me, because it's not just kind of this pie in the sky thing, but it's like, this is the point of why this is on my best stuff list.
Why we do what we do.
Absolutely.
So during the time when you said you were kind of spinning out of control, how was your relationship with the Lord?
You know, it's not like I didn't spend time reading scripture, because that's something that from a young age, my parents had really kind of instilled in me, that, you know, spending time in God's word every single day. But I feel like a lot of times it was just a to-do on the list. It was just something to rush through and check off and say, okay, I did my duty for the day. And when I really said, this is what is most important, this is the number one thing in my life, then for me, waking up every day and wanting to, you know, what does God have for me? What is he going to teach me today? And really spending that time in prayer and committing my day to God and saying, you know, if I get nothing else done today, spending time at the feet of Jesus, that's what really matters.
Well, and I think people underestimate the ability that you have once you've spent that time with the Lord and been filled, then your ability to be able to pour out onto other people. And since we do that a lot as moms and as wives and even just as women with relationships with other people, be those at work or a personal relationship, our ability to pour out comes from that indwelling that we receive from that time with the Lord.
Yes, and I think a lot of times we just try to keep powering through in our own strength. And every time that I try to do that, it ends up that I'm exhausted and I'm burnt out and life is spinning out of control. And it's amazing to me that even on those days when I feel like, you know, I've got so much to do today, I don't know that I have time to really sit down first thing and spend it in God's word. But doing it, it's amazing how God will multiply the rest of my time. But on the days when I just kind of skip ahead to the next thing, it feels like the whole day is out of whack.
Right. One of the things that you write about is core competencies. What are those and how do people find those out for themselves?
Yeah, so I think it's really important that we focus on our core competencies. And these are the things that you are uniquely created to do and be and excel at. So much of the time we spend our time trying to do something that we're not good at, and that even if we invested a lot of time into, we would never be good at. For me, for instance, I've always wanted to be very domestically skilled. I've wanted to be able to be crafty and, you know, be able to sew and quilt and do all these, you know, decorating things, and it's just not my gift. But I spent years trying to be that, because I'd see my friends who were like that, and they could just, you know, redecorate this room or redo something. You know, they'd see something on Pinterest or online, and they could just whip it out and do it. And I'd think, well, what is my problem? Why can't I do that? Well, I better go to classes, and I better try. And I'd be so frustrated at myself because I couldn't seem to, like, make it happen. And I would feel like a failure. And I finally realized that is not an area that God has gifted me in. I can appreciate other people and that gift, but I don't have to feel like I've failed because I am not crafty and creative like that. And so to focus on the core competencies that God has given me, and to develop those and to appreciate those and to realize that that is how I can best bless other people, by focusing on those.
What if your core competencies don't really line up with the responsibilities that we have as wives or moms, like organizing schedules or managing a household? Some of these things have to be done, even though that's not our strength. How would you suggest people can get those duties completed without draining themselves?
Yes. Well, I am a big, big advocate of you need to have some kind of system. It doesn't need to be elaborate. Just something simple for your day-to-day things. And I talk about in my book, the chapter on managing your home front, I talk about how to set up these systems, very simple systems, but how when you invest the time to set them up, then they just can run themselves. It becomes a habit. And so then you're not spending all this time being drained by your house that's chaotic and by your schedule that's all out of whack because you've set up this system in place. And you might feel like, well, I'm not gifted in that area. I'm not organized. It's okay. You don't have to have this immaculate house. You just need to have some kind of simple system that works for you, and then you just work the system.
So what's a system, since you're a person who's not super creative, but you want to have an organized house, what's a system that works for you? I know in your book you said you purchased this elaborate kind of binder system where you're supposed to write things down on all these different pages, and the thought of that overwhelms me. But you figured out a way to make it work for you. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes. So when I first started blogging in the blogosphere, it was this big deal to do this thing called home management binders. And it's still, there's still a ton of them out there. And there's all these free printable.
Crystal? Did we lose her?
I think so. Oh, there she is, Crystal.
Sorry, we lost you for a minute. And there you are again.
I'm sorry. Sorry. I don't know what happened.
It's not your fault.
Do you want me to just
start? Would you? Yes. Answer that question again. You said there was this elaborate system that is still kind of popular today, and then we lost you.
Yes. And so I thought, well, that's what a good mom is supposed to do. I need to print out all those printables, and I need to create this big binder, and that's going to be the answer because, well, it's working for all these other people. And I tried it, and I was so overwhelmed. I spent all this time setting it up. And then it was just overwhelming to me. And I finally realized I'm a very simple person. I like to keep it simple. So now what I do is I have Google Calendar on mine that I dump in everything. Like if I remember next week on Tuesday, I need to bring brownies to some event, I put it in Google Calendar. I need to finish up this project, or I want to write that thank you or whatever. I just stick it in Google Calendar. And then I have a one sheet that every night before I go to bed or first thing in the morning, I just write out my plan for the day on this one sheet. And it's so simple, but it works for me.
So finding something that works is ultra important. I remember as a mom of a very young child, and I hadn't done this before. So, I mean, they were hardly walking, maybe walking. And these moms would have these play dates, and the parents would come as well. And there'd be like this elaborate spread of food and refreshments, and their house would look great. And they'd have all these toys. And I was so stressed out because it was going to be my turn soon, and I wasn't sure what to do. So I came up with this brilliant idea where I told the moms I did not need them, and then they just didn't come. So the kids came, and we had a great time, and we messed up the house, and we had a juice box and smashed cookies into the carpet, and it was just fine because I was okay with that, and no one else had to see it. It worked great.
Yes, and I think that's so freeing when we can just be like, you know, it's okay. And some people might look at us and kind of think, well, what's their problem? Why can't they get it together? You know, like I had a friend over the other day and it was last minute and we just got pizza and I got a veggie tray at the grocery store, you know, and I'm like, I don't need to apologize for this. It was last minute. And, you know, she was totally great with it, but giving ourselves that freedom that it's okay. We don't have to do everything ourselves, everything elaborate, everything from scratch. It's really okay.
Well, we're getting some great tips today from Crystal Payne. She is the author of the blog MoneySavingMom.com, has great tips on how to save money for you and for your family. And she's also written a great book called Say Goodbye to Survival Mode, 9 Simple Strategies to Stress Less, Sleep More, and Restore Your Passion for Life. We're going to chat more with her about some strategies to stay sane as a mom and these days. And if you would like a copy of her book, we do have a couple of copies to give away. Give us a call, or maybe you have a question for Crystal, 877-933-2484. That's 877-933-2484. We'll get your question on the air and get a copy of that book in your hands as well. You're listening to Connecting Faith. that song, talking about scars, that we don't have to hide them. It reminds us who we are. So very true. We were just talking with author Crystal Payne about how we need to be real with each other, and it really makes it a lot easier to feel like you're not alone and not like you're not the only one. Crystal, we have someone calling in who has a question about just finances and how to get out of that rut. We have Suzanne calling in from Madison. Suzanne, are you there?
Yes, I am, and thank you, Joe, for taking my question. And I am just in such a rut sometimes when it comes to organizing my finances and when it comes to putting lots and lots of effort into home cooking from scratch, when I, you know, get very frustrated in the kitchen sometimes and I like faster ways to do it, and, you know, just putting my energies and my times into things that I'm not gifted at. And so I just wanted you to go into more depth of finding systems that are easy systems so that I can devote my time and my energies to those best things that are most important in my life.
Yes, great question. I think that I would really encourage you to figure out what your priorities are as far as financially, what your goals are. Where do you want to be in 6 months from now? Where do you want to be in a year from now, in 5 years from now? Map those out very specifically and don't be too audacious. You know, set it something that's realistic and measurable that you can break it down into bite-sized pieces so you know this week I need to be saving this much money in order to pay off this debt or whatever it is that your financial goals are. And so then when you have those numbers of how much you need to save, then you can look at your life as a whole and you can say, okay, where can I save this from? It's going to be different for every person because maybe you're going to use coupons. Maybe you're going to cook from scratch. Maybe you're going to downsize in-house. You know, figure out what works for you and focus on the big wins instead of there's so many little tiny ways that you can save 50 cents here and, you know, $5 there. But focus first on the big wins instead of those tiny things because you can get so burnt out by, you know, chasing all of these money-saving tactics at once. And so I would just say implement one new thing every 6 weeks. Try to implement one simple new thing and shave off a little bit from your budget. And you might feel like, well, that's not going to do much. But over time, it can make a big difference if you keep adding in one new thing instead of trying to add in 66 things tomorrow. And so that would be my encouragement to you.
I remember the chapter that you wrote on finances, you did break down a lofty financial goal, and I don't remember what you were saving for, but you had broken it down to week by week, and it was $13.70 or something per week. And when you do break it down like that, it does seem completely manageable. Instead of walking into the coffee shop and buying a $4 cup of coffee, that's a third of your goal right there.
Yes, and it really helps you because then I think it gives you a lot more purpose to making the sacrifices. When you just have this huge goal and you say, you know, I just want to pay off this $5,000 worth of debt, but you're not breaking it down into that bite-sized piece, it just looms over you as this huge thing. But when you break it down into that tiny piece of this is what I need to do this week, and you just focus on this week, it makes it much more manageable and it gives you purpose for those little sacrifices.
Great. Great question, Suzanne. Thanks so much for calling in. We'll get you a copy for sure of Crystal's book. We also have a caller from Fargo calling in. Stephanie, are you still there?
Hi.
Hey, thanks so much for waiting. What's your comment for Crystal?
Great. I just tuned in a few minutes ago, so I didn't hear everything, but I was really encouraged by her talking about just focusing on the things you're good at and not worrying about the other stuff. And I would love to pass the book along to my sister who has 4 kids under 4 in her home right now.
Great.
Yes.
Crystal, she had written something on the little comments that how do we sustain these finances in a godly way? Can you kind of speak to that as well?
You know, I think for us, the greatest reason for us focusing on living simply and making sacrifices is so that we can impact the kingdom of God, because I believe with all my heart that if the people of God can get their finances in order, we can do amazing things for the kingdom of God. So if we let that be our reason for getting out of debt, for saving that money, for making those sacrifices, it gives us kingdom purpose. It's not just about getting better stuff or putting our kids in a good college. It's about making an impact around the world. And for our family, we've been able to do things and give generously because of living simply. And that's just been very powerful.
You also write about margin. It's like the dirty M word of, oh my goodness, how can we get margin? Can you talk about the necessity of that for being able to get off that wheel that we seem to be running on a daily basis?
Yes. So, you know, we talk about margin and people are like, well, you know, just describe that for me and what does it really look like? And first off, you know, if you think of a book, if you pick up a book and it was just words all over the page, would you want to read that book? No, it would feel chaotic and overwhelming, and you just set it back down. And it's the same thing in our life. If we just have every single moment of every day stuffed full, we're going to be exhausted, we're going to be burnt out, and we're going to feel like we're living in chaos. And so I really encourage people to make margin a priority. For me personally, one thing that I've done is I talked about how I sit down and use my Google Calendar to then create my sheet of my plan for that day. And I actually put time blocks on each item on that sheet. So I map out my day according to 24 hours. And this really helps me because then I don't try to cram in 36 hours into a 24-hour day. It forces me to have to be realistic about what I can do. But then I make myself cross things off the list so that I can add 2 hours of margin into the day. And that's for interruptions. That's just for downtime. That's just that buffer time. By doing this thing, it really helps me to step back and say, what is important? What is really important in my day? And what is something that, you know, I could schedule later on, or I could just completely delete from my to-dos for the day. And it really helps me to focus on the most important things.
You had written about when you do the time blocking and you do schedule time to do particular tasks, it allows you to walk past that pile of dirty or clean clothes that are on your bed because you know you're going to fold that at 6 p.m. that evening or whatever. What are some of the little time wasters that you had mentioned where you may waste 15 minutes here and 15 minutes here that can really add up by the end of the day?
Yes. I think when you really examine your day, and if you actually keep a log, this is a really fascinating thing to do, to keep a log of how you spend your time every 15 minutes or every 30 minutes in a day, you'll realize that you have a lot of pockets of time that aren't being used. And I'm not an advocate that you have to, you know, every single moment of every single day you need to be doing something productive. I'm a big advocate of having downtime. But if you're wasting a lot of time on stuff that doesn't really matter, stop. You can, you know, get rid of those time wasters so that you can invest that time in the margin, or you can invest it in something that really matters. And so for a lot of people, social media is a huge time waster. I think there are great things that can come from it, but a lot of people will hop onto Facebook and be spending time on there just kind of mindless, you know, scrolling through your feed and spending time. And I realized I was doing that and just kind of getting sucked into these discussions and things about people that I didn't even really know who they were. They were just on my friends list. And I finally decided, you know, I'm going to try getting off of Facebook. And so I think it was 2 years ago, I deleted all of my friends off of my friends list. I told them I was going to do this ahead of time, but then deleted all of my friends. And I still have a Facebook that's private with nobody because for my business Facebook page, I have to have that. But not having that where I could log in and check and see what everybody was doing, I realized I didn't really miss out on anything, and it freed up so much time in my day. And it was amazing to me. It was actually pretty convicting to me to realize how much time I was wasting on there.
It's called going back to the 1980s, right?
Where
yes. We'd have to pick up the phone and call people, and people couldn't get us all the time. And yes.
I was so surprised because I thought, you know, if I do this, I'm going to lose connection with people. But the thing that I found is that my friends now, they text me and they email me and they call me. And they, you know, we talk in real life versus online, and I'm much more involved in depth with people who, you know, are really good friends versus just kind of keeping up with people on Facebook.
Yeah, yes. That's probably true. I love when someone actually calls me on the phone, because it's so strange when someone would actually be in a voice-to-voice conversation these days. So you also write a little bit about goal setting and how it's essential for getting out of this mode that we've been in, this survival mode. Why is goal setting so important?
Once we are able to say no and get rid of some of that excess in our life that's not really helping us with our best stuff, and we've determined what those priorities are that we want to focus and spend our time on, then I think it's really good to take your best stuff list and to create very specific goals based upon those things on your list. So for instance, for me, I set 12 goals for 2014, and they were all based upon my best stuff list. So for my relationship with the Lord, which is number one on my best stuff list, I set a goal that I wanted to read through the Bible, and I wanted to memorize Romans 1 and 2. And then, so both of those is very specific of what I want to do, and then I can break it down. And so I set a specific Bible reading plan that I was going to do, and then a plan for my scripture memory. For my marriage, I set very specific goals there. That's number two on my best stuff list. And I set the goal that I wanted to write a love note to my husband every single week. It's just a simple thing. It could be a text that I'm sending him, a little post-it note, something really simple, but it's a tangible way for me to express to him how much I love him. It means a lot to him, and it's just, you know, it might take me 2 minutes, but it keeps the sparks flying in our marriage, and it's a way for me to invest in our marriage. And my other goal for our marriage was to read a book on marriage every other month in 2014. So simple goals, but they are each of my goals on my list is helping me to be investing and nurturing and putting my time and energy into things that are my most important priorities.
So just writing down, have a better marriage or have a better relationship with Christ, really isn't going to get you there.
You know, it's a great ideal. And I think a lot of times our resolutions and even what we call goals aren't really goals at all, because they're just kind of these ideals that we can't measure them. And that's why I'm such a fan of being really specific in your goals and making them time bound. So on all of my goals for 2014, which you can find on MoneySavingMom.com, they're very specific. It's like, write 50 love notes to my husband this year. You know, read this many books, and very specific. And so that I can be able to measure, am I hitting those goals? And then I can break them down into monthly and weekly pieces and know whether I'm keeping on track or not.
So it sounds a lot like self-discipline is part of who you are as well. Is that true?
Self-discipline is something that I don't necessarily know that it's who I am, but it's who I'm aiming to be, you know? I have always been the kind of person that I'm very driven and very task-oriented, but I struggle with self-discipline because I'm really good at productive procrastination. This is where, you know, I'm doing something really good just to procrastinate on what I'm supposed to be doing. And so for me, it's been, I really tried in the last 2 years to make myself do those hard things first, which for me, that would be things like getting my laundry done. That can just hang over my head all day long. And if I wake up in the morning and start the laundry and fold and then, you know, switch it and fold it and put it away, I realize that I can get it done so quickly, or I can choose to just procrastinate on it all day long and it just hangs over my head. And so, you know, if I get it done in the morning, I feel great and it energizes me. And so why not just choose to be disciplined and do it first thing? But I'm a work in progress.
Oh, goodness. We all are. I love what Paul says. I think it's in Romans where he says, what I want to do, I cannot do, but I find myself doing what I'm totally wrecking this. Ryan, help me.
How's it?
What I want to do, I do not do, but I do what I do not want to do.
That's it.
There it is. Yeah. Yes. And that seems to be the plague of many of our lives, Crystal.
Yes. And I think that's why it's really important that so many people were just so stuck in that survival mode where you're just spinning your wheels and just trying to make it through every day. And so when you can step back and figure out, what am I really about? What do I want to invest my life in?
then it gives you a lot more motivation for setting those goals and for having that self-discipline, because it's for a purpose. It's not just this ideal. It's actually getting you where you want to go.
And self-discipline, self-control is also a fruit of the Spirit. So we do have it in us as Christ followers. He has given us that, but we do need to call it up in order to be able to utilize that fruit of the Spirit. And then hopefully it will become part of our regular and everyday lives, right?
Yes, and I've also found one thing, you know, in addition to asking God, please help me to, you know, stay on task today and to, you know, do what you've called me to do and not get distracted. Also to have accountability, that's been really key for me, is having people in my life to keep me accountable to the goals that I've set and to the self-discipline that I want to develop. So for instance, in some times in my life, I've really struggled with getting up early, and that's a discipline for me that when I am getting up early faithfully, it affects all areas of my life. So having a friend that I would text every single morning when I got up, let me tell you, there's huge accountability in that.
Wow, especially because I read you were getting up at 4 a.m.
Not every morning. There's been certain seasons in my life where I've gotten up at 4 a.m. So, you know, yes.
I did that through graduate school as well, and I've often thought, if I could just get myself back into that habit of getting up at 4 a.m., what I would be able to accomplish would be just amazing. But do you know I cannot do it?
Well, it's amazing how when you get married and you have children and, you know, life happens, it's, you can't just always be like, well, bye, guys, I'm going to bed at 8 o'clock tonight.
Right.
You know, so you have to consider what season of life you're in. And I think that's another really important thing for women, is to focus on realizing that you can do a lot of things in your life, but you can't do everything in every season. So just do the things in your season that are the most important priorities. And maybe in another season, something else can be a priority for you.
Right. And knowing that there will come a time when my children do not want me to tuck them in to bed. And so I don't want to miss that opportunity so I can get up at 4.
Yes, absolutely.
We're talking with Crystal Payne today. Crystal wrote a book called Say Goodbye to Survival Mode, 9 Simple Strategies to Stress Less, Sleep More, and Restore Your Passion for Life. If you have a comment or a question for Crystal, give us a call, 877-933-2484. We'll try to get you in before the end of the show. I'm sure she'd love to hear from you. Otherwise, we're just going to talk more tips on getting ourselves out of that survival mode that we seem to find ourselves in. You're listening to Connecting Faith.
That feeling comes with a phone call you didn't expect.
That feeling as the news sinks in.
About the surprise diagnosis or the financial curveball. And in that moment, it's hard not to feel alone.
To wonder how you're going to deal with it all.
Be encouraged today. You don't have to go through it alone.
There's a whole community of friends ready to encourage you and pray for your situation. It's called PrayerWorks.
An online, completely anonymous source of inspiration and hope.
Find PrayerWorks at myfaithradio.com.
You can help make people rich, and it has nothing to do with money. Northwestern's adult Bachelor of Science degree in health psychology with a concentration in applied behavioral analysis can get you on your way. You'll learn how to promote health in people of all ages, focusing on behaviors that contribute to wellness and building lives that are truly rich. For more on this brand new online accelerated program, visit unwsp.edu. University of Northwestern, St. Paul. Learn, lead, invest, impact.
Thanks so much for joining us. You're listening to Connecting Faith, and we're talking about some simple strategies to stress less, sleep more, and restore your passion for life with author Crystal Payne. She is the author of a great, very popular blog called MoneySavingMom.com, where she offers tips and suggestions on how to save money and be responsible, good stewards of the finances that God has given us. You do have a chapter, Crystal, on just having some disappointment. How do we get through that disappointment if maybe life isn't all that we thought it was going to be, or maybe we've had a sense of failure and need to get back up? How do you suggest getting through that disappointment?
Yes, I think failure is inevitable, and especially if we've set these goals and we're trying to, you know, really live with intention and purpose, we're going to have these roadblocks and setbacks and curveballs that are going to come our way. And it can be really discouraging, because when you get knocked down, you can just feel like, this is just too hard. I don't want to get back up again and try again. But to camp on the fact that failing doesn't make you a failure, and to realize that just because you failed at something doesn't mean that you are now a failure. It just means that you're doing things, you're out there trying, you're experimenting, and you're going places, and it's okay. And I've learned so much through failure in my own life, especially with my business. And, you know, now people will look and they'll be like, you have so much traffic and you have all these, you know, this team that works for you and these amazing opportunities. And they didn't see all of those years when I was trying these things and just failing and failing and failing. But I tried to look at each of those failures as opportunities. So I would say, you know, I failed at that. And that didn't work at all. But to step back and say, what can I learn from that so I don't make that same mistake again, instead of just kind of wallowing in that I'm a failure. And it's amazing how I also feel like what we think is how we act. And so if we sit there and think, I'm not good enough, I have failed, that will start to play out in our actions. And so I think it's so important that we camp on the truth. The truth is that, you know, you are loved, you are redeemed, you're a child of God, and He has a purpose for you. And when you really understand that and embrace that, it will change the way that you live.
Well, we've been talking a lot about what we can do to change ourselves and our situations, but you also have a great chapter on the benefits of looking beyond yourself and making a difference in the lives of others. Can you speak to that a little bit?
When we get to the place where we've been able to cut out all this schedule clutter and, you know, start living with intention and getting some good systems in place, it puts us in a place to be able to impact people much more powerfully. And so that can be a great purpose for getting out of survival mode. So then you can go and make a difference in someone's life. And for our family, we have just, you know, living simply and saving money, that's been one of kind of our core foundational principles of our life. And it's not just so that we can save money for saving money's sake, but it's so that we can impact other people. And so in the book, I talk about the importance of giving of yourself, giving of your time, giving of your resources. And for people who feel like, well, but I don't have anything that I can do, everyone has something you can offer, even if it's just a smile or a kind word. You have something that you can offer. And so to take those little opportunities to be a giver, it will change your life.
And then you do also write about to just taking a break and recharging your own battery. And I know that sometimes as moms, we will put that on our wish list, kind of like, I'd really like to win the lottery, but we haven't bought a ticket. And it seems like we put that recharge on our list as well. I'd really like to have a weekend or a day or even a few hours away, and yet we don't seem to make time to do it. Talk about the importance of just making sure we do take time for ourselves every once in a while.
Yeah, so in the final chapter, chapter 9 of Say Goodbye to Survival Mode, I talk about the importance of self-care. And the reason is because I think we almost have this mentality that, especially if you're a mom, you shouldn't take time for yourself because it's almost selfish, because you need to just be spending all your time for your family. And we can feel this guilt over doing that. But the thing that I found is that I am such a better wife and mom when I take time to recharge my batteries. And so being intentional about putting that into your schedule, scheduling in time to recharge yourself, it can make such a difference and bless your family so much more. But figuring out what recharges you. For instance, for me, I'm more of an introvert. And so I get recharged by just quiet, maybe going out to a coffee shop or going out and going grocery shopping, or just quiet in my room reading a book. And so making time for that, because if I just have busy and people and lots of activities, I get completely drained and then I'm not able to give out. And so making sure that you're filling yourself up so that you can give out to other people.
One of the things that you mentioned in your book is also just some advice and encouragement for a mom who may be single. Can they still apply the simple steps that you've outlined here?
Yes, and that was really my heart's desire in writing this book, is I wanted to make sure that I wasn't just speaking to one kind of mom, you know, the mom who has the little kids and who stays at home and has a great marriage, but to think of the women who are in different seasons of life, you know, women who aren't married, women who work outside the home, women whose children are grown and gone, women who are in a really difficult marriage, and the single moms, you know, just thinking of all of them. And so I was blessed to have some women come alongside me who are in those different seasons and situations in life to read through the manuscript with me, to give me input, so that I made sure that I was giving out helpful information to all women in all walks of life and not just one particular kind of woman. And so I just really encourage the single moms, you know, I can't imagine what it would be like. You have so much on your plate, so many pressures, so many burdens. But I just encourage you to not give up, to set really tiny goals, to find an accountability partner, to, you know, and find someone who can really be your support and that you can be vulnerable and authentic with, and that they will love you for exactly who you are. And to set those small goals and to live with intention, and to remember that even if you're just baby stepping forward and hard, you know, you feel like you're not making any progress at all, those tiny little steps forward over time are going to make a big impact.
Well, we only have less than a minute left, but I don't want to leave without tapping into at least one money-saving tip from your wealth of wisdom. Can you give us one tip?
Yeah, so a really simple tip that anyone can do that I love is, if you want to cut your grocery bills, but you don't want to mess with all the time that it would take to clip coupons and organize coupons and go to different stores to get the best deals, is to plan a menu and then take your grocery list from that menu plan and look up what you're already planning to buy in a coupon database. On MoneySavingMom.com, we have a coupon database that you can type in the name or the brand name of any item you're already planning to buy, and it will generate a list of printable coupons. So you can take a few minutes, print some coupons for what you're already planning to buy, and save yourself some money.
Perfect. Thanks, Crystal. Have a great day.